Kodesh Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Daled, and we just got up, we're a little bit down from the top, Chata Yisrael. We've been talking about Achan, and the way that his wife and children knew about it, and therefore even according to the Man D'Yomar, that there's never an Einash on his Tarot that nobody knew about. In this case, since his wife and children did know about it, so it's not considered to be Nistarot. Chata Yisrael. So meanwhile, going back to what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Yehoshua, when Yehoshua asked, how did this horrible thing happen to us, that we were defeated at the eye? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what do you mean? Yisrael sins. You see from here, says Rav Abba Bar Zavda, that afa pisha chata Yisrael hu, that the fact that a Yisrael is over averus does not change his status as a Yisrael. Chata Yisrael, he still has all of the ma'alot of Yisrael. Omer Rav Abba, I know the Amri Inche, there's a saying like that, that asa dekoy ben ichilfe asa shmei, a beautiful hadasa that is standing there around simple willow trees, it's still called an asa. Asa korale, and people still refer to it as that beautiful hadasa, even though you'd think, you know, it would be dwarfed and overwhelmed by the simple trees that are around it. But the very special status and smell of the beautiful hadasa still gives it that name, and people haven't forgotten it. And that's true about Klal Yisrael as well. Even someone who has not kept the mitzvahs properly is nonetheless called the Mala of Yisrael. Begam of Ruat Priti Asher Tziviti Ota. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, not only were they Rechote, they were over on my bris. Begam Lokhu Min HaCherem. They took away from the cherem that you made on the eye. Vigam ganvu, they stole. Vigam kicharshu, and then they denied that they stole. Vigam samu bekelehem, and then they put things into their backpacks and pretended it wasn't there. Omri biloy mishum rabbi yudah bar Masparta. You see over here that we have these five gums, and each one of those gums is marbe an entire chumash, which means the melamid shavar achan achabisha chumshei Torah. That Achan was not just a person who was overcome for a moment by a desire for the money. This was a person who had been over all of the mitzvahs and all of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Shenema Chamisha Gam. That this, by the way, is a very fascinating, has a long historical story that's associated with this Gemara because of the famous Psak of the Marashdam in Greece. So his psak was against almost everybody, that a mumer who gives kedushin, his kedushin is not kedushin, and that he's not considered to be a Yisrael at all. Once he's a mumer for Chilul Shabbos, or he changes his religion and so on. Whereas all of the accepted halacha up until that time was that you can't lose your status as a Yisrael. So this became one of the important Gemaras that were brought, because over here, if we were referring to Achan, when we said Chata Yisrael, and here it says that Achan was over on everything, all of the Chumashim, I'm going to see later on, the various special things that he did that put him into a category that was like just, you know, beyond. And Afal Pikein, here's the place where the Gemara brings the Raya, that afa pishachata Yisrael. Anyway, lemaisa, we don't, of course, really paskin like the Marashdam, but it's just interesting that this became part of the discussion. The afa pishachata Yisrael, of course, those on the side of the Marashdam, they understood that it means afa pishachata Yisrael, who would be in the sense of having, you know, that maila of Yisrael, that you could be chayzer, betshuva, and all of the other things, the nekuda, pnimit of Yisrael. But as far as having the din of a ben Yisrael, they claim that this Gemara wasn't saying. Okay, anyway, moving on. Omer Rabbi Lo Mishum Rabbi Yudah Bar Masparta, not only was Achan over on all of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but he was actually in Moshech Bo'or Latoya. He was so committed to going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so whatever was left of his foreskin He pulled up his foreskin. He used to stretch his foreskin so that it would look like he was not Nemo, so that it covered a little bit of the top of his penis. K'tivach, how do we know that? Because where it says V'gam Avru et Briti, the Lashon of Avru et Briti has to do with the idea of Brit Mila per se. And that is because it says et Briti Efer, and there it's talking about literally Brit Efer in terms of Brit Mila. So it must mean the same thing over here. Well, I don't understand. I mean, you said before that he was over on Kol HaTorah Kula, right? And each one of these gams was Marba, another one of the Chumashim. So why do I need a special diuk that you're making that he was also over on Brit Mila in the sense of physically being Moshe Rabbeinu Lato? Because Ma'al Datema B'Mitzvah, I think it should say Mitzvah Di Gufei, or Mitzvah Al Gufei. But anyway, what it means is that a mitzvah that is literally physically present in his body, Ad Kedei Kach, he wouldn't have acted with such hefkeros lo poka, gamash malan, even on that. And we're furthermore b'dayik v'chi asa nivala b'Yisrael. That nivala b'Yisrael, that is a reference to Omer Rebaba Bar Zavda. That means that he was baal na'ara b'sul amu'urata. Amu'urasa, abitula, mu'urasa, and he committed adultery, and by doing that, he asserted her on her husband, and he was, obviously, he was mevaza, the entire mishpacha, sa'av, because it says, you know, votziyata na'ara, and we take the family out there, and we take a look, ru'uat ha'gibulim, asher gidalta, that's like a really super terrible issue. Gamash malan, even that he did, as we'll see. K'tivach ki asa nivala, and benogia the isra of a na'aram urasa, it says ki asta nivala b'Yisrael, the same lashon. But again, I don't understand. I mean, isn't that pshita? If you already said that he was over on all of the Chamisha Chumashim Torah, why do we need this extra diuk? Because this is basically, I mean, first of all, it's called a nevala. And we know that it's such a tremendous destructive thing to do because of what it does to this poor girl's entire life. I mean, you would have think that such a thing he wouldn't have done, gamash malan, even ad kedei kach. Ravina Omar? Ravina says it's not saying that he slept with an Ara Murasa. That itself, you're right, is unnecessary. It's comparing him to an Ara Murasa to teach me that just like an Ara Murasa, the Chiyav Iskila, that Achan, because of what he did here with the Cherem, he also was supposed to be stoned, specifically. Omer Lerish Galuta Mirvuna. K'tiv, on the one hand, we find, it says, Vayikach Yoshua et Achan ben Zerach, the Takesev, the Azaderet, Vet Lashon Hazahav, Vet Shoro, Vet Banav, Vet Benota, Vet Shoro, Vet Hamoro, Vet Sono, Vet Ohalo, Vet Kola Shelo. And I don't understand. Everything that I understand, okay, I mean, the things that he stole, whatever. Here it says it took his children, Banav, Ubenotav, and Ohalo, and everything that he had, and stoned everything. What does that mean? That his kids were killed because of what Achan had done? I mean, imuchata, banavu benonav, na machatu. I mean, even if you want to tell me, well, they knew about it, they were accessories after the crime, whatever you think. But for heaven's sakes, they certainly weren't chayev, as if they had done it themselves, were they? So how were they part of the actual cherem that they were over? Omar Leis Ravuna said, you're very convenient. You left out the last part of the pasuk. You know, the last part of the pasuk says, "V'chol Yisrael imo." So, what do you think that means? That he took out all of Klal Yisrael to stone everybody? Obviously, it doesn't mean that all that were taken out were actually Niskolim. It means that he brought them out there to witness what happened. Elalir dotam. He wanted everybody to sense the horror of what was happening. So therefore, here too, that must be what it means with his family. His family, who were even more involved in the sense of being accessories and in knowing about it. So they're mentioned specifically, but the truth is it was no different. The family, maybe that front seats, you know, but all of Klal Yisrael was there in order to become more serious about what such a cherem would mean. Vayisrefu otam be'esh. It says here, they burned them with fire, v'yiskelu otam ba'avanim, and also stoned them. Never heard of such a thing. Betarte? What does that mean? That there were two different ways in which there were maimed people. I mean, why did we need both Sreifa and Skila? No, says Ravina, of course not. Haro'u l'Sreifa l'Sreifa. It means, let's say, the things that he took, or that he owned, that were ro'i to be burned, like clothing, that was burned. Haro'u l'Skila l'Skila. Hashem came when was talking about the behemoth and so on. Those are ro'i l'Skila. Anyway, so Ochan says, when he gives the vidui, he's moda to what he did. And he said, Va'era Vashalal, well, I saw here the spoils of war, Aderet Shinar Achat. I saw this beautiful clothing that came from Shinar, came from Bavel. And Matayim Shekalim Kesef. So what is exactly this Aderet Shinar? What is a beautiful type of clothing that was taken in those days, was exported from Bavel? So Rav Amar Itzva de Milta. And Aderet Shinar was the type of beged that's made out of wool that is covered from birth, and it's extremely fine, remains extremely fine. That's done even today. You can get such types of cashmere. Mishmuel Amar Sarbala de Tzarifa. It means it's one of those coats that the rock stars wear that's coated with, you know, shiny, different metallic. I don't think it really means that. I'm just pretending. But it's a type of beged that they use very expensive dye stuff that was actually tzrifa, is a type of metal. It's a basic aluminum oxide. And apparently it leaves a very beautiful sheen on the beged. And then it says, vayatzikum lufnei Hashem, which means that Yehoshua threw them out on the floor in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Omer of Nachman, ba v'chavatan lifnei ha-makom. Yehoshua came, took this stuff that Yaochan had given him, threw it down on the floor, and Omar lefanav, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, because of this pile of garbage, al elu te'areg ruba shel Sanhedrin. This is something that was kedai to kill the rove of Sanhedrin. I mean, what is that referring to? The Rove of Sanhedrin? Well, that's because since it says in the defeat, when the Ai defeated Yisrael, it says, Vayakumi Amanshei Ai Kishloshim Vishisha Ish, that the army of Ai, they killed about 36 people. Now, about 36 people is a rather strange way of referring to. I mean, that means like 35 and a half, or does it mean 35 and three quarters? So what in the world is that supposed to mean? So in the Braita, we find the Machlokas that the Tanakama, this Rabbi Yehuda, holds literally 36 people. Shloshim Hashisha, mamash. But it says about. How do you kill approximately 36 people? The Kishla Shemishishayu, it doesn't say they killed 36 people. They killed like 36 people. What do you mean, like 36 people? I'll tell you what it means. They killed one person who was like, who was the equivalent of Shloshim Vishisha. Who was that? That was Yair ben Menashe. Yair ben Menashe was the great Godol who was Shakul Kineged Ruba Shel Sanhedrin. He was such an incredible Dayan that he was Kineged half of his Sanhedrin. So that's Shloshim Vishisha. Because that, you think about that number, that's the number we've been talking about. That's the magic number we've been talking about all along in terms of a Sanhedrin. If you have the 36 against the 35, we've just been talking about it. So that number rings immediately. It rings a bell. And the ringing of the bell is that it's Rubish El Sanhedrin. And therefore, if it was literally Rubish El Sanhedrin, should essentially Shimi Shisha. So it must mean one Chacham, who was the equivalent of Rubish El Sanhedrin. But anyway, so that's what Yehoshua was very upset about. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, you know, you take a look at the way Yehoshua spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a difference. So when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, everything was always done with great anivas. Tachanunim yedaber rash, v'ashir yaneh azot. Well, that's what Shlomo HaMelech was referring. A person who is a poor man, meaning that he's an anav. Remember, the word anav and ani are so related, right? So a person like Moshe Rabbeinu is a big anav. He speaks with tachanunim. He speaks asking carefully for things. That's referring to Moshe. But Ashir Yaneh Azot, a person who doesn't have that particular madriga of anova, he speaks with brazenness, with chutzpah. That's Yehoshua. Where does Rav see that Yehoshua speaks with chutzpah? Is it because of what we just read? He throws them down in front of God. What a chutzpah. Because when Nachman said that means he threw him on the ground. Why is that such a chutzpah? Pinchas did that. Remember it says, Vayamot Pinchas vayifalel v'teatzara magifa. Pinchas stood up and it sounds like he davened. But Rabbi Elazar pointed out it doesn't say vayitpalel, which is the normal way of saying that he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says vayifalel. Vayifalel means that he actually sued HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Plilim. So he took him to court, so to speak. Melamed shasa plilotim kono. That means that he sued HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took down Zimri and the girl while they were still on his sword, throws them down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and says, Ribbono shel Olam, because of these garbage, Aleilu diplu esrim v'arba elef b'Yisrael, these people are worth 24,000 people that died in the magifa, dechtiv v'yiyu ha-metim b'magifa, arba'a v'esrim olef, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't angry at Pinchas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the contrary, sent Yashar Keach to Pinchas, made Pinchas a Kayin, he became a Meshuach Muhammad. So, if Yehoshua did the same thing, it doesn't seem that that's such a terrible thing that we should call it Azus and refer to a contrast between Yehoshua and Moshe. There must be another Raya. The Elam Yehoshua. It's because of the fact that after the defeat, Yehoshua said a terrible thing. He said, Lama hevarta virta amazet hayardin. Why did you take us over the Yarden if it was just that we should be defeated when we go to fight for Eretz Yisrael? That's horrible. I don't know what's so horrible about that. You can't contrast that to Moshe. Moshe spoke in the same way. After the first part, when it first came to Paro, and things got worse for Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said, why have you done this terrible thing to Yisroel? Lama harayot lama zeh. Isn't that just as bad? So why is Moshe the tachanuni midaber rash and Yehoshua is the azut? Elami hocha. He did say something terrible. He said, v'luho alnu, v'neshev be'ever ayarde. If we would have been smart enough, we would have chosen to stay here and never crossed over into Eretz Yisroel. What is that supposed to mean? Well, we would have gone against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael. That is chutzpah. And that, indeed, is azud. Anyway, so right after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, and he says, Vayomer Hashem, and Yehoshua, will you get up, you idiot? Kum lach. So what's the lach? So Dorish Rabbi Shila, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Yehoshua? You're such an idiot. You're the one who caused this whole thing. Kum lach. What are you sitting here complaining to me about when it's actually entirely your fault? You're even worse than Achan. Gosh. You don't want to start up, let me tell you. Shalcha kashabi shalahem. You're worse than Achan. I told you. What did I tell you? I told you, vayabo v'chem et hayarden takimu et avanim. I said, the minute that you cross over that yarden, put up those stones and make that the bris, and so on. That's mashma, immediately. And remember, we do have a shita in the Gemara that the Har Grizim and Har Eval that is referred to in the Pasuk is a metaphorical Grizim and Har Eval. They made a pile of stones. They say, we do dub the Har Grizim. And another pile of stones, we dub the Har Eval. And that way they were able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah immediately upon Knis HaAretz. So I told you to go and do that. And what did you do? No, you had to go on this incredible march in which millions of people walked 60 kilometers in order to get to Har Eval right after coming into Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you were interested in writing one of these sport books, you know, I would understand. But that's not what I told you to do. So you're just as bad. After Reb Shila left, Rav didn't want to embarrass Reb Shila and say this makes no sense. So he waited till Reb Shila left. After Reb Shila left, Rav got up and asked an Amora to stand. And Amora, of course, was able to speak loudly and to say over the shir to everybody. And he got up and he said, this is all wrong. It says in the pasuk, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe et Yehoshua, v'chein asa Yehoshua, lo esir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. You can't get a more clear 100% approbation of everything that Yehoshua did than that, right? It says, everything that Moshe did and everything that Moshe told him to do, he did. So does it make sense to say that he was over and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry and he didn't do what he was supposed to say? Okay, so let's go back and look at what it was that Reb Shila had been medayit. Kum lach. This is all your fault. In what sense, then? There, the kum lach, we said, it means you're even worse than Achan. But what does it mean in reality? Mata b'loma kum lach. Hashem said to Yehoshua, this whole mess is your fault. Hatagaram talayim. And what did I tell you? I told you, when you went to fight the eye, I said beferish, v'asita la'ai ulamalka, kasher asita liyericho ulamalka, I want you to handle the eye in exactly the same way that we handled Yericho and its melech, and that was, rak shlala uvemta tavozu lachem. The only thing is, you are 100% meant to take everything, the spoils of war, take it all to yourselves. Now, did I say that or not? Okay. Now, as usual, you have to be more frum than I am. I told you to go enjoy the shalal. And you go ahead and you say, no, nobody's allowed to take any of the shalal. Okay. So as we know from bad experience back in Gan Eden, when people become more frum than God, they get into trouble. And you went ahead and you told everybody, no, it's a big cheirem. Okay, so we see what happens. You get into trouble with your cheirem. I never told you to make any cheirems. So what are you coming to me and telling me I messed you up when you messed everybody up? So now, once we're already talking about Yehoshua and mistakes by Yehoshua, it says that when Yehoshua was in Yericho, it's the nighttime, and he makes out this mysterious figure, and he sees what appears to be a man that's standing there, and he says, what the heck? Vayelach Yehoshua elav, vayomelo halanu ata im letzareinu. Are you on our side, or are you on their side? And the man exposes himself to be a malach, and he says, neither. Anis Aretz Vashem Atabati. I am the commander of the army in the Shemaim. Now I have come. Paul Yehoshua El Panav Aretz. And right afterwards it says, more like this, but this is the essential point we're going to be talking about. Yehoshua falls on his face and he is Mishtachave. Now, how in the world could Yehoshua be Mishtachave if this might be a shade? He wasn't even supposed to say hello. Koshke not to be mishtachave. Asur lo la adam shiten shalom lechavero belaila. if you bump into who you think is your friend in the middle of the night and you don't have 100% clear picture of who it is, you have to worry, that's not your friend at all. That actually might be a monster, a demon, pretending to be your friend. So, Koshik, and you're not allowed to be Mishtachava. So how could Yoshua have gone over to this apparition and talked in this fashion and then bowed down? No, it's different, because the apparition said who he was. Anis Artzeva Hashem. That's what he said. So what are you talking about? How could he be a shade if he said Anis Artzeva Hashem? Oh, ha, ha, ha. You think that demons do not lie, is that it? Well, how do you know he's telling the truth? The Dilma Meshachre. That would be a good way for the better to eat you with, my dear. I mean, so what makes you think that he really was the Sartzva Hashem? No, because we have a Kabbalah. A shade may lie, but he certainly wouldn't have said the Shema Hashem Levatola. And over here he said, Ani Sartzva Hashem. That would be an insane chutzpah for any self-respecting shade to say. And therefore, clearly, it wouldn't be Mafik Shem Shemayim Levatola. So there Yoshua understood. Okay, so now he was quite upset. What is the meaning of this Atabati? Why is this apparition coming at this moment? So the Balak says to Yoshua, you bums, emesh bitaltem tamid shobein arbaim. This way you think that war is everything in life, baby. Yesterday afternoon, you didn't bring the korban tamid because you were too busy fighting. Okay, that I understand, maybe. And today, you went ahead, and now you're standing out here, and you're besieging a city. Instead of going back to the yeshiva in Gilgal, where everybody is sitting and learning, and you guys are out here pounding on your chest, not doing any learning. That's ridiculous. So Yoshua said, well, both of those things are terrible, I guess. Which one got you to finally come? So the Malach said, Atabati, now is when I came, because now it's beyond belief. So that means the thing that bothers me is that you're not sitting, you're learning here. So what do we find after that? Vayalan Yoshua balayla ahu betoch ha'emek. And so, actually, I mean, this is really a little bit of a mix-up, because L'maisa, the first story, takes place in Yericho. And this part takes place in Ai, which is the battle after Yericho. But we're putting it together because we see that Yoshua was very careful to fix his behavior in Yericho when he came to Ai. So over there it says, Vayolon Yoshua, actually it's two different points. It never says Vayolon Yoshua Balayla Hubatocha Emek. It says Vayolon Yoshua Balayla Hubatocha Am. And there's another puzzle that says Vayelech Yoshua Balayla Hubatocha Emek in the Ai. So we put the two together and we say what that means is that he went back to the Beis HaMedrash then when he went to Ai, and he was sitting and learning all night long. Melamit Shalan Ba'umka Shel Halacha. So to make up for the missed Seder in Yericho, he realized that's not the way to wage war, and everybody sat down to learn that night.
Is this stem learning or learning that's relevant to the war effort too?
Learning. Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'mokam echad, Ashirim b'mokam acher. I mean, I'm sure that it's a milah to have specifically Torah that was nogei of the war, but any Torah, and the Malach doesn't say which one it was. What was Barnea? Do you remember the beautiful vort of the Rosh Hashiva about the Diyakir? Remind. Right. Yes. Right. Right. So the Rosh Hashiva was medayik. My grandfather's Zatzal was medayik that it says, if the Rav is Doymel Malach Hashem Tzvakot, then you should learn. So he said, well, which Malach Hashem Tzvakot is it referring to? This is Anis Sartzva Hashem. So this Sartzva Hashem, if he's more makbid on making sure that you're learning Torah, that's who to learn Torah from. Omer Abaye L'Rav Dimi. Now, that posuk in Eretz Yisrael, Haikro B'Ma'arova, B'Mai Mukmasle, I'm going to tell you over, Pusik, and I want you to explain to me how they understand it in Eretz Yisrael, because I'm quite confused as to what it means. Al teitse lariv maher, pen ma taaseh ba'achrita be'achlim otcha re'echa. See, this is one of the psukim that Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei that doesn't have a clear-cut explanation. What it says is, don't get out there to fight so fast, because it may well be that in the end, what are you going to do when the other guy that you went and dragged into court, when he shows you up and actually shames you in court? What are you going to do then? Rivcha riv et reyecha. And if you finally decide that you're going to court, make sure, sod acher al tigal. Don't bring other people into it. And don't start talking about family, friends, and get involved in this whole big argument like people love to do, in which they've got a particular thing, and then it becomes, yeah, and this one and that one. Just take a look at the newspapers, and you'll see what the pasuk is referring to. But what is it referring to specifically that Shlomo HaMelech was saying, I don't understand. Was there a historical event that this is referring to? All of these psukim are references of how it is that we're supposed to understand something that happened. Says Rav Dimi, I'll tell you how we understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYecheskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel the most incredible thing. Go and tell Klal Yisrael, you are a bunch of nothings, you know? You think you're so great. You've got this great father and this great mother, Abraham and Sarah, Avich Emori, your father was the same as an Amori. Imech was a Chitit. So came along this Ruach Paskanit, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Rashi has a Kabbalah that this is a reference to the Malach Gavriel, and the Gro says, that is a big mistake, right here in the Gros Hagro. Okay, so Al Pi Kabbalah, the Balei Kabbalah, it's not a reference to Gavriel, but in any way, it's a particular Ruach Paskonit, which we'll see more about, that was created for these purposes. So the Paskonit says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, and what if Avram and Sarah would come here right now and would stand right in front of you? Would you say this to them in front of their faces? After everything that you said about how wonderful they are, ata omer lahem u'machlim otam, this is the way you would talk about them. Rivcha riv et reyecha, that's this pasuk. If you're going to fight with people, fight with the defendants, but don't drag in the family. So dacher al tagel, you want to fight with Klal Yisrael, fine. But don't start bringing in their antecedents. I mean, come on, that's not fair. Man, says the Gemara, that is a hell of a chutzpah to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no? I mean, mi islei reshuta kulei hai? Does this Ruach Paskanit, it has permission to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that fashion? What do they call that today? Is this like a speaking truth to authority, right? I think something like that they call it. So this Ruach Paskanit is supposed to say these kind of rough words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, this is almost like being Moshe Foreman. Can you imagine that there should be a malach that has that kind of chutzpah? Says the Gemara, absolutely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed that kind of malach. The Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, this particular kayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created has three different names. It's called the Piskon, it's called the Itmon, and it's called the Sigron. It's called the Piskon because he was created to say chutzpedika things, klape mala, sheposik dvarim klape mala. He can bring psukim and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you do this? This isn't right, and so on. Okay. So it's like the, you know, we appoint a court jester sometimes, you know, in Malchus the Ara, to be able to say certain things. He's allowed to speak those kind of things. He's called the Itmon from the Lashon of Otem. So he is meant to prevent any discussion of Klal Yisrael's sins. So the minute that comes up, he starts immediately bringing in other issues. Otem avonoteyem shel Yisrael. Sigron. Why is it called the Sigron? Because of the language of Soger, Kivancha Soger, once he closes down the Limutzchus shuv eno poteach. There's nobody who can actually do a better job, and that means you're in retreat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really angry. Anyway, getting back now to the I. Now, this is a beautiful pasuk, such a beautiful pasuk that Iyov expresses over here, which is, Hayaroch shu'acha lo vitzar. Did you make your tefillah clear before you got into trouble? You know, everybody waits till they're already dying from cancer. Now I better start davening. Great. Maybe like while things were going okay, that's when you should have davened, that you shouldn't get sick, and that bad things shouldn't. No, we could just take for granted everything's okay. So once you wait until it's a little bit too late, now you expect that miracles will be done to save you from your mess. So that's where Rabbi Elazar pointed out, the olam yagdim adam tefila letzara. Take a look at the story of the eye. This is incredible. How many centuries earlier, there's Avram Avinu walking through Eretz Yisrael, and he makes this mizbeach, and he's mispalel by the eye. Why by the eye? Because he foresaw that this was going to be a problem. So what, he's going to say, okay, they got a problem, Yoshua will handle it, he'll daven for it. Oh, no. So he starts talking about the eye from the very beginning, all the way from the Zman of Avram Avinu. And if he hadn't done that, there wouldn't have been anybody left. Forget about the 36 people that were killed. The whole country would have been destroyed because of this chutzpah during the fighting with the eye. Resh Lakish says, it doesn't mean that. It means this beautiful pasuk, Hayaroch shu'acha lo vitzar. What it means is, kol ha-me'ameitz atzmo b'tfila melamata, then ein tzar is what it means, lo vitzar, ein lo tzarim milamata. So somebody who is yaroch shu'a, then that part, the truth is, it's a little sneaky over here because Reish Lakish is being mevases his drasha on knowing the entire pasuk, which we didn't bring in the rest of the pasuk. Because the next piece of the pasuk says, v'chol ma'amatzei choach. So what does that mean? All those who are mit'amets with great strength. So he understands that if somebody is me'amets himself, he uses that koach b'shua, the koach of tefillah, then lo bitzar, he will not have any enemies in the shamayim and will be supported as well with his tefillahs. Rabbi Yochanan says, I think the meaning of the pasuk is that lo olam yivakesh adam rachamim, part of one's tefillah when he's davening for rachamim is to ask sheyu hakol ma'amtzim et kochol va'al yihyu lo tzarim milamala. So basically when it says, hayaroch shuacha, if you want to have a properly arranged shoah, which is tefillah, then what you should first do is see to it lo vatzar. See to it that you don't have any enemies. Because if there are malachim that are against you, so you have to do teshuvah, you created these malachim because of your behavior and so on. First take care of that, because that way, this of course is part of like the Rambam says in Ilkas Teshuvah, that in order for the tefillah not to be nim eset, the person has to first do teshuvah. And then, v'chol ma'amatzei koach, then everyone will support you, even milamala. That's how I understand the pasuk. Anyway, moving on. So, the Mishnah says that the derech of anyone who is to be executed is to go ahead and to say a vidui, and that way, yesh lo chelek l'olam haba, and it brings a raya from Achan. Now, how do we know? Minayin shekiper lo viduyo. So the Mishnah asks, where does it say that actually he did get a chelek in olam haba? Tana Rabbana. Minayin shekiper lo viduyo. So the Brisa speaks it out more. That Yoshua said, Shinema, Vayoma Yoshua Machar Tanu, Ya'akracha Hashem Bayom Hazeh, that's Dafka Yom Hazeh Ata Achur, V'i Ata Achur, Leolam Haba. Now the Brisa, that it said in the Mishnah. The Brisa expands upon this. Uchtiv. Uvnei Zerach, so lists the children of Zerach. And those children were Zimri, Etan, Heman, Chalko, and Dara. All together, Kulam Chamisha. So when you say Kulam Chamisha, I mean, I know how to count. What are you telling me, Kulam Chamisha? Kulam Chamisha comes to tell me that all of them are the same, meaning that these five sons, including even Zimri, who we'll see as Ochan, are going to have the same world. That is to say, they will be together in Olam Haba. But it says over here, Zimri, in other places we call him Ochan. So, which one is it, actually? It does say Ochan ben Zerach. Yes, Ochan ben Zerach. But here it's saying it's Zimri ben Zerach. I mean, doesn't mention anybody else here that there was an Ochan. So obviously, that was the Zimri here. So Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar, actually, his name, his given name, was Ochan. The reason that over here he's referred to as Zimri is because Asama says Zimri. That's because, as we know in Divrei HaYomim, names are changed to implicate the non-innocent. So that in order for us to know the whole story that surrounds that name, so the Pasuk changes it to be an expression of what the person did. So Ochan's name was changed in Divrei HaYomim to Zimri because he acted like Zimri, just like Zimri was, he caused this terrible magefa for Yisrael and so on. So too, Ochan did the same thing, and he caused the defeat with Ai. So we compare those two maisim, which is interesting because, of course, we spoke about the relationship of Yehoshua's response and Pinchas's response, which were exactly to those two inyanim. Whereas the other one, either Rav or Shmuel, said, no, actually, his given name was Zimri. And the reason that he's called Ochan in the Torah is she'ikin avonotehem shel Yisrael, meaning ke'achna. And achna is a boa constrictor. So he basically was like the equivalent of a snake that just squeezed everything out of Yisrael. He wound the various chatoyim, like we use that word achna, we were talking about tanur shel achna, we were talking about the machlokas, and the same idea, we use the achna that weaves itself around something as something that is tightly squeezed by whatever it is, arguments, hate, or the reality.
No pun intended, that is.
Uh-oh. Whenever no puns are intended, they're even worse than when the puns are intended.
Maybe I need permission from the boss before I can say, but the shorish of Achimbe in Yiddish. No, so I'm serious, is it? Or is it a different meaning?
Yes. It's two different words. It's Oich means, it means tsar and unve. It's okay. All right, so now the... No, it's perfect for dyslexics. Puns are really, it opens up whole new worlds of punning when you're dyslexic. Imenu yodea leitvadot. So the Mishnah continues on to say, if he doesn't know how it is he should say vidui, so we tell him, you know, yei mitati kaparao kolavonotai. And then Rav Yehuda says, well, if he's been framed and these witnesses are liars, so then he should say beferish, that my death should be a kapara on all the things I've done wrong, but not on this, because I never did this wrong. As the Chachamim say, so then everybody will do that, and they're going to try to make themselves look innocent, and then they'll end up without kapara. Okay, says the Gemara, look, that's up to them. So, yinaku etzman. If they want to make themselves innocent, let them. It's not our business. No, it looks terrible. Kedei shalolo hotzi laz al botedinim v'ala edim. When people do that kind of thing, people start getting a little kvetching hearts, as they say. You know, I mean, this guy actually doesn't want a kapora. Maybe these edim are liars. Maybe we condemn an innocent man. So in order to avoid that, we don't let him say that kind of thing. Tarabana. It was actually a maisa like this. Maisa ba'adam echad shi'atzeh le'areg. And he said, when it was, they told him, it's time for you to be mitvadeh. So he said, im yesh bi'avon zeh, if I really did this, lo te'emi tati kapara l'chol avonotai. Then I specifically want no kapara on anything from my death. V'im ein bi'avon zeh, but if I never did this and they framed me, then te'emi tati kapara l'chol avonotai, and I say I don't blame the Beit Din, and I don't blame anybody else, but these Edim should go to hell. Edim lo te'elam mechila le'olam. Let them burn forever. I never will forgive them. So anyway, the Chachamim heard this, and they said something very strange. They said, well, what are we supposed to do? L'achziro yefshar. We can't go back to the Beis Din and potter him just because he said this. We already paskened, and there's no new evidence. This is just like, a psychological warfare, maybe. But we'll see that that's not the point. We have no choice. We'll have to kill him, and let the Edim indeed be responsible. So this is really weird, because why in the world would they say, let the Edim be responsible? Why would they say, well, we really ought to do something? Why should they think they should do something just because this guy is manipulating them psychologically? That's crazy. Why should they say, let the Edim be responsible? Let the Edim be responsible for what? The Edim, what, we're going to talk bad about the Edim because this guy is giving us the psychological warfare? So it says the Gemara Pshita, obviously. Kol Kamine, but this guy has some kind of legal ability to start the din over because he knows how to pull at the TV heartstrings. I don't understand what you're talking about. The whole case makes no sense. Why did they believe him at all? Why did they say, well, what could we do? There's nothing to do. What's the problem? No. What happened over here, Lotzricha, the Kahadre Behu Sahade, what happened over here was that they came forward, the witnesses themselves came forward and said, look, we lied. So what? So v'chihadri b'umayhavi, who cares if a witness says he lies? There's absolutely no legal meaning to a statement by a witness that he lied. Kivan shi'igid, shuveno chozer umagid. We pay no attention to him. So why all of a sudden we're saying, oy vey, what should we do? No, you don't understand. We're talking about over here where the witnesses explained the whole story of what had happened, and we see now what happened. Like the famous Maisa of this Baya, who was the Mikhsa, he was the tax collector who was used to collect taxes without sticking to government regulations, and he would steal from people by claiming too much tax, and if they didn't want to pay for their new Mac Pro, he would take the new Mac Pro. A disaster, this guy. So what in the world was that story? So that was an amazing story. So Rashi brings that whole story. So the story was there was this guy, Baya, who was a real Baya. And he died on the same day that the big Talmud Chochem, who was the Rav of the city, died. And so they made the funeral on the same day. So you have this one funeral sneaking out to the Beis HaKfaras for the worst people. And you have the other funeral going down the street, which is going the great kovod to be the Levaya of this big Talmud Chochem. Anyway, in the middle of these funerals, they were attacked by Gazlanim and so on. It was like a whole Colombian drug thing that attacked them. So everybody scatters. There's nobody left. Except for one Talmud who was concerned. Chas v'shalom, they would try to do something to the body, and he wanted to make sure that he would know what happened. So he hid out in a bar nearby. And after they left, everybody comes back, and they get the bodies confused. So the people that come back pick up the mita of this Baya, thinking that he is the big Talmud Chacham, and they're going to bury him with great kavod, and the Talmud Chacham, they're going to bury in this potter's field. And he's yelling at them, and he's saying, I was there the whole time, I'm telling you, you've got the bodies mixed. Nobody paid attention to him. And in the end, they actually did that. They flipped the mokum of the kfura of the chochem and baya is in that place. Lord help us. And here in this potter's field, we have this big Talmud chochem. to the Talmud was beside himself, and he was crying and everything. He goes home and he gets a dream that night. He couldn't understand how could such a thing have happened. So the Talmud Chacham comes to him, his Rebbe comes to him in this dream, and he says, listen, you shouldn't be mitztayer. First, let me show you the kovod that I have in the Shamayim. He shows him his chelek and Gan Eden. Now I'd like to take you on a little tour of hell so that we can watch Baya screaming. Okay, fine. So he takes him to see Baya in hell. So why was this? So why did this happen to me? Well, he says, I once heard people talking about a Talmud Chacham, and I wasn't Meicha, and because of that, Nigzar Alai that I should be treated as if I am worthless, because I heard words about a Talmud Chacham, and I didn't stand up for him. And Baya, why was Baya Zeicha to this? Because Baya once was made this enormous sa'uda for a government official that was coming to town, and he wanted to get into his favor. The guy never showed up. So Baya gave the entire sa'uda to the poor. So because of that, he was Zeicha to this one inyan of kavod in his life. So then, what does this have to do with our Gemara? So this was an amazing story, because what happened was that this Talmud asks the Rebbe, so how long is Baya going to be sitting like this being tortured in Gehenna? So the Rebbe says to him, until Shimon ben Shetach comes to take his place. Shimon ben Shetach should come to take his place. The door of hell is in his ear. What in the world was going on? He says, how is that possible? He said, because Shimon ben Shetach doesn't respond to the social needs. There's these women that are doing kishuf, and he is not doing anything about this kishuf. And because of that, he deserves to go to hell. All right. So the guy, obviously, the next morning he runs and he tells Shimon ben Shetach about this dream. So Shimon ben Shetach gets a little bit concerned, obviously. So he comes up with this plan, and this is Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Witches. So all based on this Gemara. So what happened? So he comes up with this amazing plan. He finds out that there's these 80 women, and they're all in this secret witches' chambers in the side of a mountain. In a cave. Okay. So he gets 80 pots and he gets these 80 coats. And he gives each one of his Talmidim a coat inside of a pot. Fine. Then he has them all come along and hide outside. It's pouring rain. Terrible, terrible storm. So he takes out this new baguette and he bangs on the door of this Mara. And they say, who is there? And he says, this is not just any wizard. This is Dumbledore himself, you know? And they say, so how do we know who you are? He said, I'm going to show you. You 80 beautiful witches would love to have 80 beautiful men, wouldn't you? I'm going to make them appear, and you'll see that I made them appear because they will appear in the middle of the storm, and they won't have any water on the bracket. Let's see that, says he. Boom. And all of a sudden, these 80 guys appear. They open up the door, and each guy walks in and picks up a witch and starts to dance with the witch. Now, when you pick up a witch, you may not know this, but the moment that a witch's feet are not on the ground, she can no longer do any of her magical tricks. And so they dance these witches out right to the base of Skila, and they hang all 80 of them in one day. We'll see about this later. All right, so this caused a tremendous upheaval, and Rita Skeeter went out, wrote this whole thing up as if it was like a horrible thing that Shimon ben Shetach did, and the families of these poor witches got together, and they framed the son of Shimon ben Shetach, that he was Chayav Misa, and they bore testimony against him, and the Beis Din actually was b'chai of him, and he was the one that said that this should be not a kapara for anything if I did this, right? That was this whole story. And then the witnesses came when they said, they heard what he said, you know, and they got a little nervous. These witnesses should burn in hell forever. So they come and they tell the court, listen, this is what happened. We were hired by the families. They give all the details. It's obvious that this was a major frame up, which anyway, everybody figured must be the case. It's Shimon ben Shetach's son. And that's when the Chachamim say, so what are we supposed to do? Now, halacha is, of course, of kiva jigit shuvin echos r'magin. They weren't able to find a legal zechus, so they ended up, in fact, carrying out the execution. So that's what it's saying, kayima seh tebaya michsa. So that was that same story. So this is like the model for that type of thing. Anyway, very sweet. So if you would like to have a copy of the music, Dance of the Witches, let me know. We'll send it out on the Dafshin. Chodesh Tov u'mevurach, everyone. May it actually be the end of all of the witches and end of all of the witch hunters, of all the media and the Rishayim. And may we have a Klal Yisrael menuka mikol avein and ready for a geula shlema. And that even includes sleeping riches. Even if they're not fully aware of what's going on, they're certainly aware enough. So we say Chodesh Tov. Go to it. Ah, yes. Yes, yes, thank you. We have over here our representative of the Tzedakah issues, and he is actually the bearer of news. And that is that we give tzedakah when and only when the tzedakah is required. This is not once you get involved in a tzedakah, you got to keep giving tzedakah and so on. It is a carefully curated tzedakah. And therefore, our Moshe, otherwise known as Ruach Paskanit, I think they call him, our Moshe wants to give us just a gentle divuach there for a moment.
So our division happens to just have come out of Miguelin. They were extremely grateful for all the year. They sent us a whole bunch of pictures, which actually I'll post on the chat, of just, you know, how they were using it and just literally like thing, like pictures of them sending thank you and stuff. They happened to be out of Miguelin. I don't know if we actually really need to get to them. I'll speak to Rabbi about it. If we do want to be helping out, it could be that there's people in the DAF who have kids who maybe who might be still on the enacting the divisions. We could discuss about maybe doing something with them, but for our division, no.
Excellent news, because it's always good to know that things are real. And not just you get yourself involved in something and then, you know, they take advantage of you. So thank you very much. And looking forward to a Chodesh Tov, Rosh Chodesh Tov, and Besirot Tovot for the Chodesh of Rosh Hashanah in it, which stands for Shiyu Besirot Tovot. So Shvat Sameach. Go to everyone.